What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Newell's thawing out and recovering. I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be with you on this Thursday. Hey, everyone needs to be reminded of what day it is because it's very hard with what's been going on to remember. But yeah, Martin Luther King Day was Monday. That was the inauguration. That was just 3 days ago. The snow started falling overnight. Very early Tuesday morning and fell all day and all evening Tuesday. And we've been dealing with it Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So this is day number three of the actual weather emergency. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Councilman, you've been able to keep track of what day it is?
No, I had to ask my family last night, is it Wednesday or Thursday? So I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, well, I know this. I know tomorrow's Friday. And I know everything we're hearing from everybody is that nearly everything should be back to normal tomorrow. Is that what you're hearing from the EOC and what you're expecting?
We're hearing that more things are opening today. For example, Walgreens across the city is supposed to be open right now at 11 o'clock today. If my kids have anything to say about it, they're going to lobby their schools not to open for only one day, but parents don't feel that way. We are with the biggest issue right now still is some of the streets and road conditions. One of the things I was getting on the phone today with y'all at 11 so I could listen to the mayor's briefing. I-10 still has a bunch of ice on it, and the Crescent City Connection is still closed. So I think
they just opened it. I can see it out my window. Traffic is moving both directions across the Crescent City Connection very slowly.
Good, good. But I-10 is still a problem.
Yes.
So those are the major thoroughfares. So it's this sort of almost like after major storms, same dynamic. Some people are going to be able to get around easier than others. It just is going to depend on where you are. Also, the city made a point of emphasis of saying that New Orleans East, they're going to do work out there today to clear the major thoroughfares in that area.
Yeah, so the cadre of plows that have been working in the rest of the city is moving out to the east today?
Yes, that's correct. The east and I think to I-10 are the two major areas that people can expect to see those plows and other devices that have been used on the roads.
It's shocking. If you look at, say, example, the Claiborne Overpass or out in Metairie at the Bonneville Overpass and Kenner, at the Williams Overpass, there's still 8 inches of snow sitting on those overpasses on the I-10 throughout the metro area.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. And I think, look, there is a huge playbook for everybody about what to do after hurricanes and water events. But this is the first time you've seen this level of snow since 1895. I looked it up. My great grandmother was five the last time you had this level of snow. So it's not like there is a lot of equipment that's lying around. People are used to this. And obviously, we need Mother Nature to cooperate. The huge expectation, as you're alluding to, Dave, today, is that everything is going to start melting, that the sun's going to come up, the temperatures are going to be high enough, and that people are going to start being able to get around at some point tomorrow.
Yeah, we heard the governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness an hour ago tell us every school in Louisiana, every school district, with the exception of Terrebonne and Assumption, will be reopening schools tomorrow. There may be a few schools that have busted pipes or other issues that prevent them from opening, but by and large, nearly every school in the state will be reopened tomorrow. The airport says they'll be open tomorrow. The causeway expects to be reopened tomorrow. Tomorrow seems like kind of the day when we all finally can breathe and resume life.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And look, I think the city's also trying to do its level best, as are the other utilities related to the city, at trying to get out today to fix things. They're aware of some power outages. I think there's a little over 300 in the city of New Orleans as of right now. Sewage and Water Board contacted me yesterday about a water main break in part of my district in Navarre. So I think that's going to be the other thing that started happening today, is that as it gets safer, as everything melts, you're going to see more people moving around. And then, as exactly as you said, the sentiment is by tomorrow, things will start opening up and or be completely open.
We're still worried about water, and I know that as we are now above freezing and pipes finally thaw out, we're going to see a lot of leaks reveal themselves, both at residential and commercial properties, but also around the city. Some places across the state, particularly out in the western portions in Acadiana and in Terrebonne Parish, have found many of the fire hydrants had the flanges on them freeze and break, and now they're all leaking with the temperatures getting above freezing. How much is the city concerned? I know there's already a boil water advisory in New Orleans East and Venetian Isles because of low water pressure there. How concerned are you in your district and across the rest of the city that as we start to thaw out, that we'll be able to maintain enough water pressure so we don't have to deal with boil water advisories?
Yeah, I learned a long time ago not to be a guarantor for the utility, so I'm going to caveat everything I'm about ready to say. Number one is what the city is asking, what Sewage and Water Board is asking, is that beginning at 11 o'clock today, so just a few minutes ago, please turn off your dripping water faucets. We've now reached a point where it's warm enough that if you're at your house, I did it the last couple nights, turn that faucet back off. You don't need it. That will help preserve some of the water flow and the pressure that is desperately needed. Sewage and Water Board is also going to be doing a bunch of media today, I think primarily to show people for commercial businesses and otherwise how they may preserve and reserve some of their water today to try and prevent that as much as happening. And I think what Sewage and Water Board is really trying to balance here, Dave, is they want to maintain water pressure, but they also don't want people's pipes to burst either. And so they're walking a very delicate line, because maintaining the pressure, as you point out, above that 20 PSI is so important. There is a limited boil water advisory right now for parts of New Orleans East and the Venetian Isles, and their ultimate goal is to try and move people off of the dripping and the letting the water run a little bit internally into stopping that for right now. And obviously, to the extent people can do so, just limit running your shower, running your dishwasher, running your washing machine. As you kind of point out, tomorrow people getting out more and more things will be happening, so there'll be enough time to do that over the next 24 to 48 hours.
We're talking with New Orleans City Councilman Joe Geruso, getting an update on what's going on in New Orleans. I do not want to put you in the middle of anything or make this political, but I just wanted your help. The mayor's office didn't tell us that she was having a briefing today. They withheld that information from WWL Radio for whatever reason, so you were able to watch what the mayor had to say. Any highlights that you think the residents of New Orleans should know about that? We're going to try to get that from our partners at WWL TV and play it a little later in this hour now that we know it happened, but can you tell us anything you took away from that meeting?
This was the internal briefing that has been kind of on a regular cadence at 10 a.m. I wasn't even sure if it was going to happen today because of the melting, but they did hold it. The main things are the ones I've repeated. Number one, please try and stay off the roads today until you really know that it's safe. Number two, there are areas that are still closed, so please follow either NOLA Ready and the state's website. They have 511 to be able to monitor where you're supposed to go. Number three, that Sewage and Water Board, again, is really asking people to preserve the water, as I just said in the last question, and make sure that you're being safe. For sort of, as you said earlier, Dave, things are starting to open. For example, the Sobering Center opens at noon today. They're slowly going to start trying to open more things that are of essential need to people. And then I think sort of the last one is Energy is monitoring those outages that they have, and their client care centers in Algiers and on Canal will be open tomorrow too. So I think the bottom line is everybody is looking at tomorrow as being the day where there ought to be more full access to what's going on in the city, with City Hall supposed to be reopening. And then in the interim, everybody trying to make sure that as things are coming back online, it's as safe as possible, both from a public safety standpoint and then also from an infrastructure one.
I know that you at the city council, and I know the city and everybody else will have after action reports. They'll review everything that happened and everybody's response and performance. But just your initial thoughts, as we have seen more snowfall in the city of New Orleans than any time in the last 130 years and sustained temperatures below freezing for several days. Any takeaways that immediately jumped out to you as we've gone through this crisis?
Yeah, I mean, I think the usual ones I would say, number one is there is no playbook for this because this is the first time it's happened since 1895. So given all the circumstances, I think the city has performed remarkably well. Obviously, as you said, there'll be questions afterwards and we can look at how to maybe do some things better. But having the snow plows here very early, having additional support was, I think, incredibly important. And one, candidly, that I'm glad the city jumped on so quickly. It sounds like there really haven't been a lot of traffic accidents either. And so I think that's a credit to the media repeating often, please stay off the roads, don't do these certain things, to the public, to listening to that. The roads have been sparse the last few days. Obviously, you've had a lot of public first responders who are trying to do as much as they possibly can. And look, obviously, I mentioned earlier, you have a couple hundred people without power at this moment. You have some breaks that are in the city. But I'm going to knock on some wood. I think given the circumstances of what was supposed to be maybe a 3 to 6 inch snowfall in the city of New Orleans, and reports are somewhere between 10 and 12, depending on where you were, the city managed this about as well as can be expected.
Yeah, and by and large, and I think you pointed that out, that most people heeded the warnings. They stayed home either because they were smart enough to do that or they were too scared to get out in it, whatever the reason, most people did. But these power outages, Entergy told us that through this storm, about half of all the power outages they've had to deal with were from people who did not heed the warnings, got out, tried to drive in it, and then ran into poles or equipment and knocked out the power. So and the limited fewer number of people we saw getting out did cause some trouble. And I'm a little concerned right now as I look out my window at the Crescent City Connection. It is literally bumper to bumper, barely moving from one end of the bridge all the way to the other. A lot of people clearly are ready to move about, and some of them are doing it right now.
Yeah, look, I certainly appreciate for all of us having this, that it's cabin fever. And I also think, Dave, coming after COVID in particular, people are extra anxious to move around. But I can't stress enough that there'll be time to do that in the future. And by the future, I really mean tomorrow for the most part. So unless you really have to go do something, and I understand people may be running low on groceries, you may have an emergency, you have prescriptions you have to fill, there may be some time later today for some of that to happen. But otherwise, with schools being closed, most places of business being closed, and the state, as you pointed out, saying that essentially it will be reopened tomorrow, please just continue to exercise that good care. Go take a walk. Go get out. Go walk to your coffee shop, your neighborhood bar, whatever it is, and make sure you get out. But at the same time, please do that by walking if you can, and not by getting in your car. Also, RTA still shut down too, Dave. They hope to have the buses running in the next day or so. But they also said, I should have mentioned this, but they also said the streetcars will be sort of the last thing to come online, both because of the snow that's on the ground and because they have to clear tree branches and other debris that may have fallen either onto the lines or the tracks.
Yeah, and that snow and ice lasts longer on the neutral ground because it's colder on the grass and dirt and it's more shaded. So, yeah, I got to imagine those streetcar tracks are going to be about the last thing that are de-iced and where the snow melts.
That's what we heard from the message today. And again, it sounds like most things will be tomorrow. And if anybody's listening and they think I'm hedging, it's just because things can always change. But the biggest walk away was that the streetcars will be more delayed than almost anything else. And that could be past the weekend even potentially.
Yeah. And even walking around today, folks, be careful. The NOPD yesterday, Joe, put out a warning about large chunks of ice falling off of the downtown buildings because as it thaws, particularly any that have sloped roofs or that were on the edges of buildings, those things come down. But even at your house, for anyone who's lived anywhere where there's regular snowfall, you know when the thaw starts, the snow's coming down. And you just close your front door sometimes, and then you'll be buried in all that snow all at once. People should be careful even just walking around out there.
You got to be careful. Just use your good sense. And look, it's still going to be slippery for a while afterwards. I went outside first thing this morning for one more look at the vista because I don't think I'll ever see anything like this again in my lifetime in New Orleans. And even just going outside, it was still slippery as of then. But look, realistically, Dave, I know that people have been home since Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're now into Thursday. As everything heats up into the 40s today and as more grocery stores and pharmacies and other businesses start to reopen, I think if you're going to go out, the safest way to do it is to go walk there and be safe while you're doing it.
Councilman Joe Geruso, thank you so much for joining us from District A, keeping us updated on what's going on in the city of New Orleans. And hopefully tomorrow we start getting back to normal. Go have one last snowball fight before it all melts.
Sounds good. Take care, Dave.
All right, thanks, Joe. Or not. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. Coming up, we're going to get State Trooper Jacob Pischu to join us and tell us what's going on out there, what's open, what's closed, and what he is hearing in terms of the prognosis for openings and closings. If you have a question about anything, please don't hesitate to call us at 504-260-1870 or text us on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. Be happy to try and answer any questions you have. As we said, the Crescent City Connection has just reopened, and it is bumper to bumper, barely moving. It's only open to get on and off at Chapultepec and General de Gaulle. So everyone's got to get off at the same place or get on at the same place. That's contributing to the problems. People are texting us from the bridge as they sit there going nowhere, telling us there's some merging issues. Yesterday we heard people were driving around the cones to pass people on the bridge, even though it was only one lane open. So please be careful. And if you don't have to go, you probably shouldn't. Use your best judgment and common sense. Back after this on W.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Ah, can't you see it? a sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
BWL. Sitting in for Newell Norman on this day 3 of recovery from the largest snowfall we've seen in Greater New Orleans in 130 years. Things are slowly getting better. They expect leaps and bounds today, with tomorrow the Louisiana Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness told us expect normalcy. Schools open. Business is open. Government offices open. Bridges open. Highways open. Interstates open. Tomorrow, airport open. Maybe the causeway open, what we heard from the causeway general manager. So tomorrow looks like pert near a normal day. But let's get updated on what's going on right now. Trooper Jacob, and I'm going to ask you, Trooper, where are you from?
Originally Mississippi, but I've been here for about 13 years now.
Okay. In Mississippi, your last name is spelled P-U-C-H-E-U. How do they pronounce that in Mississippi?
Pichu.
Pichu. All right. How do they pronounce it here in Louisiana?
So I have distant relatives near Eunice, and they pronounce it the exact same.
Okay. By the way, most people in Eunice call it Eunice.
Very true. Very true.
I got in-laws from Eunice. So, all right. So, Pichu. I've heard it about 18,000 ways since you've been making appearances on all the television, radio stations, and everywhere else.
Yes,
so I just wanted to ask you and make sure we got it right. Trooper Jacob Pichu is with us from Louisiana State Police Troop B. And I'm looking out my window at the Crescent City Connection, and I can see here from Poydras and Magazine people driving around the cones and passing everybody in the single lane that it's supposed to be, because traffic's at nearly a dead stop up there right now.
Right. Again, it's only open to one lane until we can get everything either clear or it melts off and it's safe enough to open additional lanes. And by passing cars or driving too fast, you're not only putting yourself in danger, but everybody else. And then what ends up happening is a crash. It's going to be shut down again.
In fact, that's what we saw last night. DOTD reopened the bridge, but then NOPD and maybe you guys also had to respond to so many crashes that the request was made and DOTD shut it down again last night because there were too many crashes.
They did shut it down. It was more so in the interest of public safety because the freezing had started at that point and it just wasn't going to be safe for anybody to be there.
Yeah, all right. Well, okay. I'm not sure what happened. I just know the DOTD was on with us at the time, and they said NOPD asked them to close it. So, but yes, it is open again in one lane in each direction. We're getting conflicting reports because, and I know it's a lot to keep up with, the Huey P. Long Bridge. They also told us at 8 o'clock last night they had reopened that one lane in each direction, but 511LA.org still shows it closed.
I don't I'm not sure what the app is saying. It is open one lane both directions. It has been since last night.
All right. So you can take either the Crescent City Connection or the Huey P. If you must cross the Mississippi River, one lane in each direction. The I-310 Luling-Hale-Boggs Bridge remains closed, though, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So two out of the three in Greater New Orleans of the Mississippi River crossings are opened at least in a limited capacity. Folks are asking us, though, if they want to get to the Huey P. and they're on this side of the Harvey Canal, how do they do that? The tunnel is still closed, last I checked. Is the Lepalco Bridge open?
I'm not sure about the Lepalco Bridge. That would be for JP. However, like LA 18 River Road, all of that's open. You just will have to make your way back to 90 to get onto the bridge.
Okay, so if you make your way to 4th Street over to River Road, you can take River Road to the Huey P. and then take one lane of the Huey P. across to the West Bank, and vice versa if you're coming from Elmwood to Bridge City.
Yes, sir.
Someone texted and wanted to know about Highway 90 in Raceland. They say it's still closed.
The last update that I saw it was as well. That's going to be in the Troop C area. What I would refer to is check the 511 app, 511LA.org, or call 511.
All right. Yeah, you're Troop B, so I don't want to ask you to speak out of Troop. And I know that you have plenty to keep track of right here in Troop B to be keeping us up to date on the other troops. What are you hearing? I'm amazed when I look at the traffic cameras on the overpasses, the Williams overpass, the Bonneville overpass, the Claiborne overpass, and all the way till you get to the Twin Spans, that these overpasses over land, not over water, but over land, still have 8-10 inches of snow sitting on them right now. Here we are a full 48 hours after that snow started falling. It's remarkable that even though we've had a second day now above freezing, the wind blowing under those overpasses has kept it cold enough for that snow to just sit there.
Right. And just like we put out and we usually do if we ever have a freeze, bridges and overpasses are always the first to go. It seems like they're just holding some ice and some snow still rather longer than I even anticipated. With the sun, though, hopefully we're going to see it melt off and hopefully get things open back up.
Yeah, we heard from the state that they're sending the plows from the west to the east, and they should be moving into the greater New Orleans area hopefully later today. The city of New Orleans said that the plows that they've got from Indiana should be hitting the I-10 corridor later today. What are you hearing in terms of the prognosis on if there will be any opportunity to open the I-10 corridor today, or is it still probably going to be tomorrow?
So I have not gotten the end result yet. We're hoping for as early as possible. They are working really hard right now out on I-55 in Laplace, heading towards Tangipahoa Parish. So I think once that gets open, they'll start moving more towards the metro area. So hopefully we can get that started today.
All right. I know it's in Troop L, but for folks up there, they have reopened I-55, at least between Hammond and Ponchatoula. So they've made that progress.
Yes, sir.
And so now they're going to work from Ponchatoula down to Manchac, Rudock, and hopefully eventually to Laplace and get that open. Man, it'd be great if they opened that in about an hour and a half when I have to go north on I-55. If not, I'll take the low road. Just concerned about that Manchac overpass over the canal.
I was there a couple hours ago, and it was fine. Just take it slow.
Gotcha. All right. Someone just texted the Lepalco Bridge is closed. They're at it right now, but they have crews on it working on it right now. So River Road would be the way to get to the Huey P. Long Bridge if you're on the other side of the Harvey Canal. Trooper Jacob Pichard, Louisiana State Police Troop B, anything else you do want to share with us or let our listeners know as we continue into this third full day of so many closures and so much snow?
The usual, stay at home if you don't have anywhere to be. If you have to be out, please watch your speed. and abide by all the traffic laws, as well as wear your seatbelt. If you're in that one lane on either one of the bridges, please don't pass. The other lanes are not accessible at this time, and you're just putting yourself and others in danger.
Trooper Jacob Pischu, I promise I will say your name correctly here on out. I can't speak for others, but you probably had to have heard it pronounced at least five or six different ways, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm used to it.
I get it. All right. Thank you. And I even know some people who will probably, I won't use my mother-in-law's name, but would probably tell you how to pronounce it. Her family's from Eunice, even if you pronounce it differently. So some people must insist you're pronouncing it wrong sometimes, huh?
I'm sure.
All right, Trooper. Have a good one. Get some rest. Stay warm. Thank you for everything. Jacob Pischu here on WWL. All right, I'm getting questions about the bass-ackwardness of a lot of what we saw during this winter storm, that we saw colder temperatures closer to the Gulf and on the South Shore than we did on the North Shore, that we saw more snow accumulate on the South Shore rather than the North Shore, which is contrary to what we usually expect. Usually it's colder north of the lake than it is south of the lake. Usually, if there's any snow accumulation, it's on the North Shore, not on the South Shore. So why was it different this time? Mr. Meteorologist Peyton Malone joins us coming up next to address that and to tell us how warm we get today and what the future holds. I'll also ask him about all this craziness on the internet about 15 to 20 days from now, another Arctic blast. Is that going to happen or not? He can't tell us for sure, I know, but he'll tell us, well, at least some odds or likelihood, maybe. Back with meteorologist Peyton Malone at WWL-TV right after this. 11:42, 6 hours ago, I introduced Mr. Meteorologist Peyton Malone at WWL-TV, joining us on the early edition of WWL First News, and now here we are again, Peyton. Both of us still working.
Why are we still here? I said, who am I talking to? They said, Dave. I said, Dave? I said, he should be home by
now. And I said, who's in the weather center? Peyton. But hey, we do what we got to do, right?
Yeah. Well, still a mess out there, too.
Yeah. But hey, it's 39 degrees at the airport in Kenner, 45 at the airport in Slidell.
Yeah, we're really warming up. Melting ongoing. It's just, you know, when you've got a foot of snow on the ground, it takes a little while to melt.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. For anyone who's ever lived anywhere where it snows regularly, you know, sometimes you're into March and it's like 60 degrees and there's still these piles of snow laying around in places. And it's like, how does that survive?
I know.
But it's somehow the thermal dynamics of it all. So the good news is a lot of it is melting already.
It is melting. I went on a walk in the quarter earlier, and there's still a lot of thick ice on the roads, but you can hear the snow melting. You can see and hear the snow falling off the roofs. It's almost dangerous to be walking anywhere where there's roofs near you because the snow's coming down, and so just be careful if you're going to be out and about.
Yeah, for folks who've never experienced it, snow creaks and cracks,
mm-hmm.
and you can hear it as
right
it does
before it goes, yeah.
So, yeah. Well, if you're listening for it. But, yeah, yesterday NOPD put out a warning of large chunks of ice falling off of downtown buildings.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's happening. I mean, it's happening everywhere. And, you know, it's just a mess. Oh, let's talk about the CCC really quickly. This is interesting.
I'm looking at it out my window.
Yeah. Do you see that line coming from the West Bank?
Yes. Apparently people were trapped on the West Bank, and they're just desperate to get to the East Bank.
I guess. If you're on the bridge right now, me and Lee are looking at it over here on our traffic cameras. So you're coming across, and then they close it once you get right over the bridge, and you have to get off at Chapultepec.
Yes,
and
everybody.
So that's the only way off. So I guess that's why there's such a backup there.
Yeah, well, and a lot of people came all at once, and apparently mm-hmm. several people who are stuck in it are texting us that some, and they're using the word, not me, idiots. I probably would use that word, but are going around the cones, passing everybody, and then forcing their way back in, and that's just making it even worse.
Sure.
Because stopping traffic to get back in.
If you all move at a steady rate, traffic will keep moving. When you start speeding up thinking you're going to go around, you're causing. Look at them. I'm watching people. I've got our tower cam turned, zoomed in on the bridge, and I'm watching people do what you're saying right now.
Yep.
They're flying past everyone that is sitting still.
Yeah. I don't know if they have someone directing traffic at the bottom of the Chapultepec exit, because there's a red light there. So maybe they need to consider doing that. Either way, if you want to cross the river right now, you're going to be sitting on the CCC a long time.
Yeah.
QEP is moving a little better, we're told.
Oh, good. Well, and I'm looking at the opposite side. That side seems to be moving. If you're going towards the West Bank, it's coming into the city here on the East Bank.
Odd. Fewer people want to go to the West Bank.
Hey, now. Don't get that game.
I just said it was odd.
Well, the less people live over there.
Coleman in Master Control is a wanker, so I'm just poking a little fun at him.
West Bank, best bank.
Yeah, so they say. Some people were asking me about about the bass awkwardness of what we saw with this storm.
Yeah.
Even this morning, late last night, it dropped into the 20s south of the lake.
Sure.
Before it did north of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuesday and Wednesday, we got people down almost at the coast telling us they had colder temperatures near the Gulf than we saw on the North Shore the last couple of mornings.
It's true.
There was more snow accumulation south of the lake than north of the lake. To a lot of people, that's counterintuitive. It's not normally what we would expect.
It's not, and that's exactly what happened. In fact, Lafayette set its coldest temperature on record the other morning. Baton Rouge tied it. Morgan City was down in the single digits the other morning, and it was thanks to the snow cover. The reason the snow just set up perfectly, the heavier snow fell south of the lake and through the river parishes and in the bayou. There's a lot more snowpack than what was on the North Shore, and whenever that happens, you're going to have colder temperatures during the overnight hours.
So it was first that we got more snow south and west of the lake, and then because of that snow, the Earth's warmth couldn't get through it, so it just stayed colder.
Exactly. We described it as an ice box in the freezer, you know? The more ice you have, the colder it's going to stay in there. And that's exactly
we had a layer of insulation. All right. And this storm did not move from north to south, so it didn't have to cross the lake to get here. Normally, the lake warms the air as it comes across the lake.
It does. So the air is coming from the north. These storm systems that form to our west and move to the east. Now, typically, why we do not get a big snowstorm like this is because the cold air is not here in time for the storm system. It all has to do with timing and where these storm systems track. A lot of times the low pressure 2 will track right over us, and that keeps the snow up around I-20, which is what happened like 2 weeks ago at the beginning of the year when we had the big snowstorm just to our north. But here on the South Shore, we watched the low pressure this time around in the central Gulf of Mexico. And so with it staying well enough to our south, the cold air stayed in place. It all just timed out just right, and you get
a
historic
storm.
Or just wrong. And you know what was interesting? I looked at the snow reports from 1895 from Houston to New Orleans.
Right, and that's the storm of record
that's the
everyone's
benchmark
been talking
we'll call
about.
It. Yeah.
But there was no airport back then.
There was no airport back then. But we did measure snow in various locations from Houston to New Orleans, and it is so incredibly similar to what we just saw. I mean, from lighter snow totals a little bit further north of the area, higher snow totals in New Orleans, and it almost played out the exact same way. It's just incredible. So now we know what pattern to look for if we're going to get a big snow in New Orleans.
130 years from now.
Yeah, 130 years from now, we'll be going, okay, let's go look at those maps from 2025 and 1895.
All right. No more hard freezes south of the lake because of the melting. We are expecting at least one more, if not two more, mornings of potential pipe bursting north and west of the lake, though, right?
Yeah, I do think tonight and tomorrow night we'll have a light freeze on the South Shore. The North Shore is going to be flirting with the hard freeze. It's not going to be as cold as it has been, but we still got two more mornings of at least some freezing temperatures before we get rid of all that mess heading into next week.
All right. And you and I talked about it this morning, but for the benefit of the people who weren't with us 6 hours ago, there are things on the internet about another Arctic blast in about 15 days from now.
There's a lot of things on the internet you shouldn't believe. Let's not believe this one right now. You know, every time we have a big event like this, there's going to be pages that are still getting excited and worked up about it, and they're going to post something, and it's going to get a tremendous amount of attention online. I'm checking the models here. Yeah, we'll probably get some cold fronts in February. That is completely normal. But remember, it took 130 years for this to happen again. It's probably not going to happen within 2 weeks of what
we just saw. Because the predictions that people were sharing from wherever, reliable or not, were that right about the time the Super Bowl is here, and oddly, the coldest Super Bowl ever was played in New Orleans in Tulane Stadium.
Yeah,
that's true. But that having been said, the long-range models, the ones that you rely on, the Euro and the GFS, are not calling for another blizzard or crazy snowfall the weekend of the Super Bowl.
They do have a cold front, but also that's three weeks away, and there's a reason we don't give three-week forecasts. There's a reason we have a seven-day forecast. It's because anything beyond that is unreliable. And in fact, right now, that model this morning was showing a cold front. Now it's showing us at about 70 degrees that weekend. So
that would be
no
much
reliability.
Better. Yeah. I vote for 70 degrees Super Bowl weekend.
No. And we don't have a clue. I don't know what it's going to be. It could be 100 degrees. I hope not.
Somebody else texts me, and I'm not. Now that we're through the worst of this, I can get a little petty about naming winter storms.
Oh, sure. We can name it whatever you want.
The Hurricane Center participates in an international organization that meets periodically and names hurricanes. And that's the global meteorological community agrees on those names.
Yeah, they meet up. They come up with a list. It's every 6 years. The list repeats. It's a whole group. It's a community. And they do that because it's important to keep storms straight. And also it conveys messaging. We don't name winter storms, though.
Yeah, just one.
The Weather Channel. It's the Weather Channel.
The Weather Channel decided they were going to name winter
storms. It's just marketing. And, you know, it's their prerogative. They can do what they want. But that's where the name. So if this one was called. What do they call this one?
Enzo.
Enzo, yeah. So that's. A lot of people are asking me about these names. And I'm always like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, yes. Okay. It is named that on a channel. But
the government doesn't use that. The Weather Service doesn't use that.
Right. It's a private company, and they do that. So,
yeah, they can then they can name anything any they want.
I call it whatever I want, too.
I can think of some real good names for this storm.
Yeah, I can't. I can't say it, though. The FCC will get involved.
All right. Thank you, Peyton.
Have a good one.
We know you got to go back on TV. Peyton Malone here on WWL, meteorologist over at WWL-TV. All right. I hope that answered all those questions you've been texting me about the oddities of this storm and why things were so different with this than we normally see, and addressing the naming. And if you have any other questions, though, call me or text me, 504-260-1870. We'll try to keep answering them for you. Coming up next hour, New Orleans Police Chief Ann Kirkpatrick is going to join us, and I'm very much looking forward to that. I haven't heard from her since this snow emergency started. Find out how the rank and file are holding up, how they did through the storm, what they've seen and when experienced, and what message the police chief for the city of New Orleans has for us. We'll also next hour talk with Cynthia Lee Shang over in Jefferson Parish, find out if people did conserve enough water after they sent out that pleading this morning to keep the pressure from dropping too low and creating a situation where we have boil water advisories. So that's coming up in the next hour. But anything you want to talk about with this storm is on the table and fair game. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. No, it's not. Coleman in Master Control having a little fun with the naming of the winter storm. That's unofficial. It's commercial. It's promotional. We don't do it here at WWL Radio. If the National Weather Service wants to start giving storms names, I think we'll participate. Other than that, not so much. All right. So we've got a horrible, terrible, no good, very bad mess up on the Crescent City connection. DOTD opened one lane in each direction to get between the East Bank and the West Bank. You got to get on and off at General de Gaulle and or Chapultepec, depending on which side of the bridge you're on. And yesterday when they did this, traffic was moving fairly smoothly, but then at ground level, NOPD reported a large number of crashes, so DOTD closed the bridge again last night around 8 o'clock. They reopened it this morning, and now it is bumper-to-bumper traffic barely moving from the West Bank to the East Bank. And we were watching, and we can see it out our window here, and they have a DOTD camera on it at 511LA.org, where you can watch it yourself if you want. People were driving around the cones to pass the traffic because they didn't want to wait. They wanted to get to the East Bank. Someone just texted us, says, DOTD finally has units on the bridge now, forcing everyone to stay in one lane. I've been sitting on the bridge for 25 minutes. Hey, when you get to the other side, let us know how long it took to get from the West Bank to the East Bank. Your other option, if you do have to cross the river today, is now the Huey P. Long Bridge. It's open one lane in each direction. Last we heard, it was still moving relatively smoothly, slowly, but still moving. If you have to get across the Harvey Canal to get to it, River Road is your only option. The Harvey Tunnel is closed, the West Bank Expressway is closed, and the Lapalco Bridge is closed.
Yeah, while you were talking to Peyton Malone,
yes,
Jeff in the bread truck, he was coming from east to west, says he was up there for about 15 minutes, and you could probably see him because he has a bread truck.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll see if I can find the bread truck on the bridge while we listen to the news. We'll be back with the police chief and the president of Jefferson Parish and your calls and questions and answers after this.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.